The Dartmouth is still there. Well, Nurses Week is coming to an end here now, and there were a number of headlines throughout the week that pertain to nurses. Perhaps the biggest one was a survey that said nearly two-thirds of nurses in the province of Nova Scotia have some sort of serious concern about the system, whether it was in regards to cost-cutting, staffing levels, and or bullying in the workplace. Joining me now to talk about this is NSGEU President Joan Jessam. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, John.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm great.
Good. So this was... For me, this was a pretty serious survey when I read it here, especially if it's all factual, which it sounds like it would be based on the fact that this was a nurses responding to these opinions here. So let's look at each one of these ones that stuck out for me separately. Let's start with the cost cutting. The survey said 96% of nurses said cost cutting has become the number one priority in Nova Scotia hospitals.
We're not surprised by that. They say it's become the priority over direct patient care, and they certainly have shared those views through the different answers they gave us on the survey.
And and what does that do, I guess? Is this like across the board cost cutting? Take out the machete as opposed to the scalpel, and everyone's feeling it, or is it certain departments that are really, really feeling it?
No, when you're talking about working short all the time, not having a lot of ability to make any inroads and decisions that affect the different units, bringing things to management not listening. Those are all reflective of the fact that, it's always cost-cutting. No, we can't hire more. No, we can't do this. No, we can't do that. Because it's budget-driven, and they believe that that's impacting patient safety and patient care.
Yeah, and that's I know that one of our reporters spoke with Capital Health about this, so I'm probably going to reference this towards the end of the week. They talked to Capital Health, so I'm probably going to reference their responses here. I know Capital Health said that they denied that patient care, or they denied that cost cutting was affecting patient care, and that patient care was still the number one priority. Can you have both? Can you try to save money and still have patient care?
I guess at the
level that we're talking about here.
Well, the nurses are telling us that they believe that it is being cost-driven. They're hearing the arguments and excuses on floors and different units when they're asking for more staff. I know Capital Health just hired about 100 new grads, RN grads, but I also know they've got close to 400 casuals on their employee list. And so, the casuals are not as expensive as full-time permanent RNs. But they also have an impact on what hours and RNs being able to get time off, during prime vacation time. There's RNs that are working 15 to 20 years and are still not able to get any summer vacation. And that's because they're working short. There's not enough RNs and LPNs in the system. We know that. The employer would not have gone out and hired 100 new ones if there was adequate staffing. When you don't have adequate staffing, and our nurses are telling us that they're working short on up to 50% of the time, we know that they have an enormous overtime bill at Capital Health. That's exhausting nurses too, right? We represent about 3,000 RNs and LPNs across the province. This survey is a very well-defined survey. It's got a good margin of error. We asked the front line what they're hearing and what they're experiencing. We heard from the front line, not from the management team.
Yeah, and staffing was the next issue I wanted to talk about there, and you touched on most of it there. I guess the argument is that it doesn't allow nurses to do their jobs effectively. The argument that we heard, the counter to that, I guess, and perhaps surprisingly, Capital Health agrees that there is a staffing problem there. Is that I guess good news that they acknowledge that there are some issues there?
Well, we know that when you look at issues around patient-staff ratio, meaning you have the right amount of staff for the right amount of patient and the acuity of the patients, then you have better outcomes for the patients, you have more job satisfaction with the staff, with the nurses. That, over time, and actually in a very quick time, they would see the benefits of that. They would have less sick time, they would have staff would be able to get appropriate time off so that they're, able to do the job. They're going home and taking the work mentally home with them. And we've got nurses that are calling back to the floors at 2 in the morning to find out if the patients that they care for all day, how they're doing. So the nurses are doing a phenomenal work and support and delivering really exceptional patient care under very stressful conditions. And I think the whole purpose of the survey is to say, it is Nurses Week, and we certainly have to say thank you to the nurses on the floor, but we also have to say, what can we do to help? And I think there's an onus on the College Registered Nurses, on the Department of Health, and on the employers across the province to step up to the plate and say, you know, there is a benefit here to patient results, better patient results, not as many patients returning. We know that we have issues with infection across all of the hospitals. Yeah. So there's all kinds of reasons to have the appropriate amount of staff. So, you know, I think sometimes it's not about not enough money in the system, it's about how the money is being spent. We spend a lot of money on people returning into the system as a patient, when if we had adequate staffing, then we would see that dramatically reduced.
Well, we've heard that, I'm referencing Capital Health here, said that in terms of staffing levels, it would take a quote, team effort to fix that. What do they expect from nurses? What are they told? Do they expect in order for that team effort to be successful? I was a little perplexed by that.
Well, Jonathan, does take team effort. And in fact, some of the results of the survey are very simple. You know, they want the nurses want to be respected. They want to be able to have a say in their day, a say in how the work is delivered. They want to have a better flexibility with scheduling. They want to have some summer vacation to spend with their families. They also want to have adequate staffing so that they're able to deliver the care, get to the patient, spend a little bit more time at the bedside, do the holistic approach to the patient rather than running from bed to bed to bed, because they're not able to deliver the care that they know that they're capable of because they don't have the time. They don't have the time because they don't have adequate staffing. They also know that they were 55% of them believe that they work in a workplace where bullying in the workplace is accepted. So some of this stuff is, there's no cost to fixing it. It's about how you treat each other. It's about, you know, the management team. And I'm talking the management team, direct management team on the floors and, you know, at the employer level. It's about sitting down and listening to what they have to say and realize that they're a valuable contribution to the workplace, and they do have some input into how the place should be run, and it shouldn't always be done at the top.
Yeah, and I wanted to come back to that bullying there. Actually, I guess what you sort of touched on there is are we talking staff on staff bullying, or is this top down, or so you're saying it's everything?
It's everything. I mean, we also know that because of shortages and because of the way the work is being managed, that the level of patient complaints and family complaints of patients has increased. It's up around 75%. We know that bullying is worker to worker, and it's also certainly meant employer to worker. A lot less employer worker to the employer, but it's a culture that's been allowed to foster. It's, you know, this way it is, kind of suck it up, you know, we're working short, just, and they will tend to, may take it out on each other because they certainly aren't going to take it out on the patients. I mean, they're very professional, the RNs and LPNs, and they're going to deliver the care that they've been trained to deliver. They're just asking for some help.
Yeah, and do you think that a lot of those bullying issues there would be solved if there was less stress in the job? That this is just a symptom of people feeling, you know, at the end of their wits and needing, as terrible as it sounds, needing a release?
It certainly will be addressed. It's not something that gets fixed overnight, but that's why I'm saying it's the college. It's the issue around patient safety. Our nurses are telling us we're doing a phenomenal job. We love our job. We've got great teams, but at the end of the day, we need some help because we don't have enough staff, and we need the attitudes in the workplace to change. The college can step in and start doing something about that without penalizing any punitive consequences to the RNs or LPNs. But also the employer needs to step up to plate. And as a union, I mean, we've got limited access to the workplace as far as going in and telling them how to do the job. But we certainly would be a willing partner to sit down, you know, and look at some creative ways to deliver service better and where our members are not negatively impacted, get the buy-in from them. At the end of the day, what people always forget to do, they forget to talk to the front line. Mm-hmm. I've listened to nurses for many, many years, and they've got great ways to improve the delivery of care in the areas that they work, but nobody's listening to them.
It sounds to me like a lot of this is systemic in just the way that it's just sort of, and I think you said this, it's sort of been allowed to happen this way. It's just been a steady decline now to where this has become the norm.
It is. I agree with you. You've got to bang on. It is becoming the norm, but this survey is alarm bells, and it should be alarm bells for the public. That's why we made it public in Nurses Week, because we want to make sure that people understand the conditions they're working on. They're still delivering phenomenal care. But I said to the college, and I've said to the employer, and I've said to the Department of Health, we're at a crisis. We've got 3,000 RNs alone in this province eligible to retire in the next 3 to 5 years. 3,000. We've got many RNs. Our average age is about 45. So if we don't do something to fix it now, by the time the 3 to 5 years hits us, we are going to be at a loss, and patient care will suffer. And the health of our nurses is going to suffer, too, the mental and physical health of our nurses. And this isn't a huge, I mean, certainly there will be more hires, and that's a good thing because these are bringing good-paying jobs and good professions into the province, and we're keeping our nurses here in Nova Scotia because we certainly graduate a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a win-win for the public, and it's a win-win for the profession. Patient safety, our nurses are saying, you need to help us because we don't want somebody to get hurt beyond us being able to fix it. So the college needs to step in, and, you know, as a union, we have avenues to make issues like this public because you will not get this from the employer and you'll not get it from the college, but we are able to say, you know, here's where our nurses are telling us, let's do something about it. We have an obligation to do something about it. They're a very well-respected profession, but they're saying, we love that you appreciate us, but we need everybody to step up to plate to make our working conditions manageable so we can deliver the care that we know we can do.
And I guess my last question here for you, and you touched on it there in terms of trying to come up with a solution. Obviously, it's going to be a collaborative effort. But again, it sounds like a lot of these issues are pretty well rooted into the system now. Is there anywhere where you can sort of, you know, say, well, this is an area where we can start and this will help alleviate some of the issues here and then it can grow from there? Because it sounds to me if you sort of eliminate one of these issues, some of the others will solve themselves.
Well, I know that we can go into the workplace and we can talk about different areas. Mental health would be one of them. Different units and different floors and in different buildings, different hospitals where we can say, this profession in this area, and I'll just use, like, maybe it's orthopedics or maybe it's cardiac care, where we can go in and say, we need to make sure, you look at the overtime, you look at, you know, are people able to get time to be able to spend some quality time with their families too? What's the acuity rate? Are patients coming back into the system? We can look at all of that. There's all kinds of stats out there. How many casuals are being used? Do we have the right patient-staff ratio? We can do it by unit. We can't fix it all at once. But if we don't get to the table, nobody's going to be fixing it. We're going to be talking about this in 5 years' time when we have 3,000 more RNs out of the system. Mm. And at that point, the system's not going to look like what it looks now. We know with the proper amount of staffing, the RN staff ends is what we're talking about today, but it's adequate staffing in all the professions. But RNs and LPNs, if we don't do something now, in 5 years' time when we've got 3,000 more out of the system, then we're going to be in a crisis situation. And it takes time to move a mountain, and it takes time to change a culture. But if all parties that are involved in it, and that's the Department of Health as the funder, that's the employers, the colleges of RNs and LPNs, and the unions, because let's go to the table, kind of, you know, leave our egos at the door, take our hats off and say, what can we do to make a better life for our members, our nurses, and for the patients and people of this province? And it can be done. It can be done.
Yep, well, we'll have to, and hopefully it can be done, because I know this is, as we said there, something that tends to, or has been at least this way, at this point, sliding the wrong way, and hopefully we can start heading the other direction. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about this.
Just 1 second. John, on the patient staff ratio, we know that this works. It works in Australia. It works in California. They're looking at introducing it in Ireland, and they're talking about it in B.C. This is not something new. It's out there, and I think we need to be open-minded to it.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully we can get to that point.
Okay.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome, John.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was NSGEU President Joan Jessam. We need to pause here for a second, but when we come back, today is Mother's Day. I promised a very special guest, and today I will deliver. That's next on Maritime Morning.